Welcome to CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union.
Nowhere in my contract does it say I gotta make a fool out of myself, am I right?
You give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you all you want to know about your Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL.
Anything you folks want to know about the fascinating world of pro hockey, here we go.
Here's your host.
You know he's got balls of steel, that guy.
Bob McGilligan.
Why can't you finish what you started? Why can't you try and understand? It doesn't make a bit of difference if you start what you can't finish. Every story needs an ending after all.
Yes, that was the Blue Jackets' problem once again last night. They couldn't finish what they started in losing to the Washington Capitals by the score of 3-2 at Nationwide Arena. Welcome to CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott, and I'm getting the show out late today. This has been just a day where I can't get going, and it started off with snow. And here in Columbus, it's about, well, I didn't even go outside to check it officially, but I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 inches of snow, which will shut this place down. It's amazing. When I got home last night, I was watching the news, and they were talking about this big snow that was coming, the biggest snow of the season, and, oh, the roads this, and watch out for that. And it's 4 inches of snow, and it has shut it down. So no school today. Kids are home, and it's just kind of a blah type of a day. So it's been just that for me. And after the game last night, it's a bit of a blah thing, too. And I don't mean that mean. It's just, it was, who described it as a kick in the gut? John Tortorella? I'll have his post-game press conference here in a minute. I know Jody Shelley, I think, said it was a gut punch. Either way you want to say it, it is dead on. That was a very tough game to witness last night. To watch the Blue Jackets come out and score the first goal of the game and have it going on very early. To watch them take a penalty and have the Washington Capitals do what every other team has done against the Blue Jackets in the past month and a half, score a power play goal and tie the game at one. And then to watch Alex Ovechkin draw all of the attention as he skates up the ice and then pass the puck over to Tom Wilson, resident tough guy, not really a big scorer, but gets a chance to go in one-on-one with Sergei Bobrovsky, and does a nice little dangle in front of him, dragging the puck across the top of the crease, going forehand, backhand to tuck it in and make it a 2-1 game. Watch the Blue Jackets miss on a power play opportunity late in the third period to tie the game, only moments later to have Marcus Nuttavaara feed the puck beautifully to Brandon Dubinsky, who beats Braden Holtby as he got two cracks at him on the same stride to the net, and make it a 2-2 game. Watch the Blue Jackets miss out on another power play opportunity that could have put them ahead late in the third period. And then finally, in the final minute of regulation time, to watch Alex Ovechkin get a puck to the net, have Sergei Bobrovsky make the stop, have David Savard get hit in the head with that puck, fall to the ice, have TJ Oshie reach over top of him, make a backhanded pass to Nicholas Backstrom and watch him bury it for the game winner. Yeah, that was all pretty hard to take. And that's a pretty tough one to get over. That's how it ended last night for the Blue Jackets. They were rallying, looked like they might be able to get at least a point out of that game against the Metropolitan Division leaders. Maybe at least get that point, if not a win in the first game of the home-and-home series. But instead, it went like so many other games lately have gone. Now, I will say this. There have been games, and I think the San Jose game is one that's fair to point out. The Blue Jackets did not play well in that game. They did not play well. I can pick out a number of games here recently. They didn't play well in Vegas. They didn't play well in Buffalo. They didn't play well against Vancouver. There are a lot of games they didn't play their style of game, and they paid the price for it. But I think last night they did play their style of game. And even though the last two games were losses, one in New York to the Islanders, and the one last night, there was more structure to the Blue Jackets game. There was more of a look that they are getting back to playing the way they're supposed to play. Now, you don't care about that right now because they still lost. I understand that. But for a team that was not playing the right way early in the year and getting wins because of it, one would have to hope, even though they're playing the right way and losing, that that is going to turn around. And I'll give it to you. I know what you're probably thinking, and I'll give you the fact that it's got to turn around pretty quickly. With that loss last night, the Blue Jackets fall another spot in the standings. They're clinging to the final wild card spot right now. And I mean clinging, because there are teams breathing right down their necks. They've got to find a way to get some wins. Got to find a way to get on a roll, get a streak going. That's how the Pittsburgh Penguins have gotten back into it. They've won, I don't know, they've won maybe 9 out of their last 11 or 12 or something like that. That'll do it. You need that kind of a streak. You need to get on that kind of a run. All your players are back in the lineup, and I'm going to say all of them because I'm not even counting Ryan Murray anymore. I don't know what's going on with Ryan Murray. I know he's been day-to-day since 1974, and I'm not even counting on him coming back into the lineup anytime soon. I don't know anything more on him. I'm not going to ask anything more on him. I'm not counting him as a regular, okay? Dean Kukan's doing a fine job in his place. So that's not the problem. That is not a problem at all. So I regress. Everybody's back in the lineup. So it's got to come now. And it's showing signs. Dubinsky gets a goal last night. The power play frustrates me, frustrates you, it frustrates me. I thought it was coming around. I still think it is coming around, but I saw some of those things last night where, you know, the entry into the zone a couple times, just, ugh. Anyway, again, easy to say when you're sitting way up top and just watching it from above, everything looks like it's easy. I understand that. I get it. But, all in all, there are good things happening, but the end result is bad. And that's pretty much what Seth Jones said after last night's game.
Yeah, we'd like to get more than 2 goals, but we played a hard game tonight. You see the importance of every play, and against a team like this, 45 seconds left, we can't blow defensive coverage like that. So I feel like these last 2 games, we've kind of thrown away some points.
But it seems in terms of style of play.
Yeah, I know, we're playing a lot better. We're playing a lot better. We're being more physical. We're hunting pucks a lot more. Our D are more aggressive up the ice, I think, was something we really needed to get back to. Pinching more on the forecheck. So as a D-core, you know, I don't think we're giving up many chances. There's a few odd man rushes here and there, but Bob played a great game and put him in a tough spot there in the last minute.
You're getting the quantity of shots, but what about the quality of shots?
I thought we were around the net a lot tonight. A lot of bodies around there. A bounce here and a bounce there. It's a couple more goals for us, right in the crease that we have chances. And I thought all the lines were around the paint tonight. I thought the D did a pretty good job of getting pucks to the net, too.
That's Blue Jackets defenseman Seth Jones. I agree with that last statement. The D did do a good job of getting the puck to the net. David Savard had the first goal of the game. Jones was getting pucks to the net. Zach Werenski was back to his shooting form that we saw a lot from him last year. He was getting pucks to the net last night. Again, getting them to the net, getting them into the net, two different things. A couple of other pluses in the game. Oliver Bjorkstrand, to me, was more visible last night than he has been in recent games. Maybe the last 2, I should say, he's been visible in. But last night, I really liked his game. Creating chances for himself, creating chances for other players. He was physical. He won battles on the boards. He stole pucks from opposing players. He did a lot of good things in that game last night. And Alexander Wennberg did some good stuff too. So, again, it's that same theme. And it's hard to, you're watching your team fall in the standings. You're watching your team just kind of hover around 500, a little bit below 500 here in the last 4 to 6 weeks. And you're saying, how can there be anything good coming out of that? Well, there is, just not the result. And you know me, I'm not going to sit here and try to pump sunshine on you if there's no sunshine to be had. But there were some rays of sunshine in the last 2 games. But they got to put it together. They've got to find a way to put it together and get on some kind of run. And, John Tortorella agreed when he addressed the media after the game.
Did you feel like you played in this game closer to the way you've wanted to play and maybe better in that respect than you have in a while?
Yeah, we played a good hockey game. We've played the last 2. We've put in a lot of good minutes. So we've just got to keep our composure here and understand it. As I've always said to you guys, I'm going to coach the team on how we've played. Sometimes it's not always about the result. So we just have to keep our composure and keep on finding our game, because our game is coming.
on that, John, on that composure part. Third period, you need that goal, but nobody seemed panicked. Nobody seemed to press
before
you got that tying goal.
No, we just we talked about keeping our patience. Just talked about playing the same way, and we get rewarded. And and we just it's a kick in the stomach. You know, that one hurts. I mean, forget the coaches. How about the guys with the uniforms on? That's a tough one for them. So we've got to regroup tomorrow and just stay within ourselves here and keep on playing.
John, on the winning goal, is that just a bad break? I mean, it hits Savvy. The puck hits Savvy in the face.
It's just a blind throw at the net by Ovechkin. Washington does it a lot. They throw a lot of blind plays through seams onto the net. I'm not sure. There's a couple players on the weak side that kind of gravitate to the puck. I think it catches them surprised, too, that Ovechkin just whips it to the net. I'm not sure if anybody could have done anything about it. It's a screwed-up play.
That was my follow-up. Did you think the fact that it hits Savard and it just drops there, it seemed like everyone
it froze everybody. No one knew exactly where it was. I think Oshie makes a hell of a play. He makes a hell of a play there and finding the puck and making and having the wherewithal to make a cross-ice pass. You know, Doobie and Jens are in the area. They kind of gravitate towards the puck. But I think it happened so quick, they're not ready for that weak side. And I'm not even sure if they can stop the play, quite honestly.
John, so many scoring chances, a lot of shots. Again, you just feel like the dam's going to break at some point here?
Yeah, I do. I think we're close. And, we had – that's where our power play has to help us there. We have a couple of chances there. I thought one almost snuck through him, had a couple other looks. It's been that way for us most of the year here, and where things just haven't totally gone our way in games. And somehow we've got to have the wherewithal to keep finding ourselves, keep staying with it, and turn these games into wins and try to get on a run. And I'm encouraged with the way we've played the past couple of nights, but we just found we've played well enough to lose. We got to try to turn that.
Recall early in the season where there were times where you won and came away from the rink not thinking you played particularly well.
We're just talking about walking in here. We play like crap in a few games and walk away with a two-goal win.
Right.
And especially the past couple of nights, we play well enough to win. We just find ways to lose. And hey, it happens. I think we got to be really careful. We're spoiled because of the year we had last year where everything went our way. We got breaks. We were healthy. A lot of things went our way. And as I've always said, we forced them to go our way for the most part, but you do get some luck in a year. We had a ton of it. We got shit for luck right now. But that can't get us down. We've just got to stay together here and keep our patience and composure and keep on working at our game.
Wonder what you thought of Oliver's game tonight. He was in front, Oliver Bjorkstrand in front of the net on Savard's goal, and then work in front of the net.
Yeah, the past couple of games, him and I talked the past few days here. I think his summertime stuff is very important just as far as the strength of the game. I think he has shown a different type intensity as far as the battles, not just standing in front, but he's won a lot of battles. And he's really working on just shooting the puck. And tonight he hit the net a number of times. The other night he missed a couple of chances. He just misses the net. He's really working on trying to get the puck to the net and us looking for rebounds if it doesn't go in.
John, are you feeling more comfortable using a larger rotation among forwards? And is that part of turning things around?
I think it helps. You know, I think it helps our energy when I can use four lines more. I'm not sure what the minutes were tonight. I know when we tied it up and I was looking for some certain matches tonight, too, where I've lost a couple of their shifts. But I think if I'm going to if I want them to play with energy, I need to use my bench as best I can. Having Calvi there and a veteran guy, as I said, a left-handed Gags from last year, I feel a little bit more comfortable in putting him in situations.
That's Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella, and the Blue Jackets will get another crack at the Washington Capitals on Friday in Washington, D.C. That will also be the dad's trip, so there will be some extra added incentive for the players. Let me try that again. Extra added incentive for the players when they head to Washington, D.C. to play in that game. And then it's a back-to-back, right back home on Saturday night to take on the New Jersey Devils at 7 o'clock. Right now, let me tell you a little bit about Telhio Credit Union. You know, I tell you all the time, if you want to keep your banking local and still have all of the financial services that you need, Telhio Credit Union is the place you have to go. You've got to at least take a look. And you can do that online by going to telhio.org, where you can learn about all of the convenient products that they have, all the services that are available to you, from a personal loan so you can make a big purchase without racking up credit card debt, to accounts that are available wherever and whenever you need them. At Telhio Credit Union, your money is put to work in our community, helping to build homes and local businesses. And you can learn more. You can even open an account today by going to telhio.org. Telhio is open to everyone. In central and southwestern Ohio, they are federally insured by NCUA. So the Blue Jackets Capitals was a big Metropolitan Division matchup last night. There were some other big games on the slate last evening in the division. The Flyers were a 2-1 winner in overtime against the Carolina Hurricanes. The New Jersey Devils lost in Ottawa 5-3 to the Senators. That's a bit of a surprise, as much as Ottawa has struggled. There was a big focus game in Pittsburgh last night as Marc-Andre Fleury was making his return to the city of Pittsburgh after being taken in the expansion draft by the Vegas Golden Knights this past summer. The former Penguins star started against his old team, but the home team got the win. Pittsburgh scoring two times in the third period to take a 5-4 victory over the Vegas Golden Knights. Also, the Anaheim Ducks were in Buffalo last night and beat the Sabres in overtime 4-3. The Red Wings lost at home to the Boston Bruins. The Bruins continue to be red hot, 3-2. Final score in that one. The Florida Panthers got a win at home over the Vancouver Canucks, 3-1. The Minnesota Wild just went wild in St. Louis on the Blues, beat them 6-2 last night. The Arizona Coyotes were in Winnipeg. The Jets were victorious there by a 4-3 score. Calgary at Chicago, 3-2. Calgary Flames win that one. And the Colorado Avalanche was a winner at home over the San Jose Sharks, 3-1, the final in that game. So here are the playoff standings as of right now. In the Eastern Conference, in the Atlantic Division, this is not going to change. These three teams are going to be in the mix. And as far as the points go, there could be some change there, but don't hold your breath. Tampa Bay is on top in that division with 75 points. The Boston Bruins are second with 72. Toronto is third with 67 points. In the Metropolitan Division now, Washington has 67 points. That has them four ahead of Pittsburgh with 63. Pittsburgh is one ahead of New Jersey with 62. The two wildcard teams, Philadelphia now moves into the number one wildcard spot with 59 points. The Blue Jackets are in the second spot with 58 points. But the Blue Jackets are in a tie point-wise with the New York Islanders. And the Carolina Hurricanes are only 1 point behind both of them. Hurricanes have 57 points. The New York Rangers are at the bottom of the division. They've got 55 points. So even at the bottom of the division, you're 3 points out of a playoff spot right now. And it is just absolutely ridiculous. I can't see any of these other teams getting in. Florida is the next Atlantic Division team with a point total of 52. That has them 6 points behind the Blue Jackets and the Islanders. And that's going to be tough to overcome. So Florida, Detroit, Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, as you round out the rest of the conference, pretty much toast, I think. I think they're pretty much toast. You know, Detroit will say, well, Detroit and Montreal say we're 8 points back, and but still, you have to jump over six teams if you want to get to where you want to be. So that's going to be a long row to hoe for those teams, I think. It's going to be a battle in the Metropolitan Division to see who's in and who's out of the postseason. Now, over in the Western Conference, I hardly ever look at this, but I will today, because it's now getting to be later in the season, right? This stuff is becoming much more significant now. And in the Central Division, Winnipeg, with 73 points, leads Nashville by just a mere 2 points. Nashville in second place. Then you've got St. Louis in third place. They've got 67 points. In the Pacific, the Vegas Golden Knights, 74 points, second best in the league. San Jose is right behind them, well, in the standings, but way behind them in the points. 64 points, 10-point advantage for the Vegas Golden Knights in that division. And then Calgary has 62 points. The two wildcard teams right now are the Dallas Stars, who have 66 points. So that has them in a decent spot. They're only 1 point out of third place in the Central Division. And you've got the Minnesota Wild in the second wild card spot with 63 points right now. Colorado Avalanche and the Anaheim Ducks are knocking on the door. They're only 1 point behind Minnesota. The LA Kings are 2 points behind them. The Chicago Blackhawks, this shocks me. It really, really shocks me. They have only 56 points on the year. Now, I know they lost Corey Crawford, their starting goaltender, and it seems like a lot of things are catching up with the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, just the moves that they've had to make because of salary cap. Some of their players that they've committed big money to getting older, all of that stuff. It seems like some of that is starting to really come into play there. 56 points for them. That has them 7 points out of a playoff spot, and they've got to jump one, two, three, four teams just to do that. So that is a tall task for the Chicago Blackhawks. Then you've got Edmonton, Vancouver, and Arizona rounding out the Western Conference. So that's your playoff picture as of today. That is where things stand as of today in the NHL. Other games that are on tap tonight, Toronto is going to be at home against the Nashville Predators. The New York Rangers will host the Boston Bruins tonight. The Edmonton Oilers are going to be in Los Angeles to take on the Kings, so a very light schedule, only three games on tap for tonight. So that's the way it looks in the NHL. And as I said, the Blue Jackets with a lot of work to do, and they're not the only team. This is going to be a mental challenge. This is a how bad do you want it situation for a lot of teams. But I'm only worried about one team, and that's this team. And if they can keep their wits about them, if they can just do the things that they need to do, the things they're expected to do, and put it back together, again, I've been so frustrated at points this year, just like you have. I'm surprised I'm not a little bit more frustrated today because, you know, I was last night. When I saw that puck cross that line with, I don't know, 40-some seconds left? I don't even remember. Trying to block it out. But when I saw that puck cross the line, and I was, you know, deflated, just like you, completely deflated. And I called the game over at that point and then said, unless the Blue Jackets can come up with some kind of a push in 49 seconds or whatever. And they did. To their credit, they did. They didn't roll over and let it go. And because they didn't tie the game, I don't think that that should be overlooked. Because I can go in the not-too-distant past and watch this team just hang its head and roll over after that goal and not even have any other decent scoring chances or opportunities the rest of the way in the final minute of play. So to their credit, they did not back down. No, they did not win, but this team, again, this is what I'm trying to hang on to, and I know I've said it to you before, and I'll say it to you again until it gets proven that I'm wrong. But watching this team play last year in December, when they were on their roll, when they were winning every single day, and no matter what they did, whatever they touched turned to gold, right? For a 5 to 6 week period, whatever they did, it worked right. They were perfect in the month of December, never lost a game. They went in on New Year's Eve and played a Minnesota team who had won 12 in a row and beat them and made it look relatively easy on the road. You know, at that point, we were saying this is a team that has a chance to win the Stanley Cup, and we were right. But the Stanley Cup wasn't played for in the second week of January. It wasn't played for until the second week of April. And by that point in time, the Blue Jackets were somewhat in disarray. They had clinched with a whole bunch of games remaining on the schedule. They had altered their style of play because they were breathing. They knew they were in the playoffs. Yes, they could have challenged for the President's Trophy and all that stuff, but they didn't. They took the foot off the gas, and then when they tried to hit the gas again, they realized the engine was flooded, and it just sputtered and wouldn't go anywhere. So, again, they have the ability to do that. As I look at this roster, and as frustrated as I get by it and wonder why they're not playing like they did last year, why they are not as tough to play against as they have been in the past, why this, why that, why everything. They are still relatively the same. And I know that there is still that potential for them to go back to playing that way. They're not going to win 16 in a row. Everybody said that right from the start. John Tortorella said that on the first day of camp or the first day before they went on the ice, the media availability. He said, I'll guarantee you we're not winning 16 in a row. Okay, that's fine. We all get that. But they can string together wins. And one thing about this team, it is a feel-good team, meaning when things are going well for them, it is very easy for them to play. It's very easy for guys to get goals. It's very easy to kill penalties. But right now, they go just as opposite at times. You know, penalty kill. John Tortorella has said it. We're waiting for something bad to happen, and then it does. So it comes back to mindset. Yes, you've got to do the physical things. Yes, you have to be in position on the ice. Yes, you have to have your man in check. You can't just release your guy. All of that stuff. But if in your mind you're saying something bad's going to happen, something bad's going to happen. Absolutely is going to happen. How many times in your life have you been doing something and said, don't do that. Don't make sure you don't make this mistake. And then the first thing that happens is you make this mistake, right? I remember one time being in an elevator and I was thinking about a story that a buddy had told me about somebody that dropped their keys and they went down right between, you know, where you've got the floor of the building and then there's a little gap and then the floor of the elevator. And he was telling me a story about somebody dropping their keys and they went right down that slot down the elevator shaft, gone. And I don't even know why I was thinking about it, but I was entering an elevator. I had my keys in my hand. That's probably why I was thinking about it. And I thought, oh, geez, don't drop your keys. What happened? The keys fell out of my hand. Now, fortunately, they didn't go down that slot. They hit on the elevator floor. But the moment I thought that, it happened. Okay? So that, to me, goes back to human nature. And that's where, you know, mind over matter thing. If you believe something's going to happen, it usually does. So even though people that are complete positive thinkers drive people like me crazy, not that I'm totally negative. I feel I'm a realist, and I think some other people are, you know, too positive. But I'll bet you if I spent more time around those people, the positive things they think are going to happen actually happen. The majority of them happen because they make them happen through the way they think. And if you're sitting there thinking about how something bad is going to happen, how you're going to give up a penalty, a power play goal on the penalty kill, then it's going to happen. So, you know, mind over matter. They've got to work on that. They've got to get back to being that tough team to play against that they have been in the past. There's no question about it. And hopefully the last couple of games were a step in that direction, and now they can translate that into victories. Listen, I just told you the standings. Win four games in a row. Pick up eight straight points and see where you are then. Because you're going to be playing against the Capitals, then the Devils, then the Islanders, then you go to Toronto. So three of the next four are within the division. If you can win those next three, you will pick up 6 points, prevent other teams from picking up points in the division. You see where I'm going here? There is great opportunity in this month to make something happen, to make something positive happen. So that's where the focus has got to be. Play your game the right way. Get your mindset. And let's go. One game at a time. One game at a time. And the next game is against a team that just beat you last night and you want to get revenge against. And you're going to have to do it in their building. And that's not easy. Not easy at all. But it can be done. Hey, there is no inside edge tonight. Ohio State basketball is playing, and so 97.1 The Fan carrying the basketball game. Jody Shelley and I will not be getting together for the Inside Edge tonight, but I'll be back tomorrow before the team leaves for Washington to bring you another edition of CBJ and 30 presented by Telhio Credit Union. So that'll do it for today. Until tomorrow, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.